From the Seven Feathers Casino Studio, KQEN weather in the Umpqua Valley. Just a 20% chance of rain this afternoon. Cloudy and a high of 56. 80% chance of rain, 46 the low. 90% chance of rain on Thursday, looking for a high of 59. Ahead on Saturday, 50% chance of showers and cloudy and 60. And for Easter weekend, 30% chance of rain, cloudy and 64. And on Sunday, rain now likely a change in the forecast with a high of 58. 49 degrees now, KQEN News Time, 1235.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
And this afternoon, talking to Congresswoman Val Hoyle, who joins us from the district office in Eugene. Congress out this week, and so many members of Congress back in their home districts, and that is the case as well. Congresswoman, thanks for being on with us.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Now, you were in Cottage Grove this morning, if I understand correctly, from a couple of things I saw. Talk about that event that morning, because some of that seemed like it might tie into even northern Douglas County.
Absolutely. So this was an event with the Undersecretary of the USDA Rural Economic Development, Xochitl Torres-Small, to announce a $1 million grant from USDA for a federally qualified health center that will provide dental care, medical care, and mental and behavioral health care, regardless of ability to pay, for in Cottage Grove, for South Lane and North Douglas County. And that area is one of the greatest area of lack of access to primary care and certainly dental care. So this is something that we've been working on for 16 years in one way or another, trying to patch together making sure people have access to health care. And so with a combination of money from the federal government, from the state, from the county, from the city, and then from private sources, we're able to do this. And it is run by, the building is owned by Lane Community College. So this will also be a way to train our healthcare workforce, which is one of the bigger reasons why in rural communities we can't get access to healthcare is we don't have the workers that in these communities. So training people in our communities to work in our communities, it's a win-win situation. It was really exciting.
What's the timeline for construction and in getting this all operational?
You know, it's going to be a few years yet, but we've got the money to start, and it is an existing building, so we don't have to build a new building, and that is a really big deal. So we should be able to get it up and running fairly quickly, and Lane Community College is, they own the building, and they're moving forward, so this will be a place for people to learn while they're meeting unmet healthcare needs.
Now, while you are back in the district, talk about other places you've been this week or are going to be at before you go back to the Beltway.
So we're going to do a town hall tomorrow with Senator Wyden in Douglas County over at Sutherland High School. As I've been back since I've been congressperson three times, so we started up in Lincoln County and Benton County, went down to Coos and Lane, and so we're coming to Douglas County to meet with different elected officials. I will be going next week to meet with a number of people that work in the timber industry, with the American Forest Research Council, with Washington Representative Marie Glusenkamp Perez, to talk about timber and forest management issues from the federal side. So there's a lot we're doing, but mostly I'm back here for, you know, the Easter week and spend time with my husband, which is really important.
Now, getting started in Congress, I'm curious, politics aside, about the process. I mean, you've been labor commissioner for a number of years, and to make the switch, I'm sure there is so many new things to learn, a new environment. Talk about what that transition's been like in the past 10 or 12 weeks.
So having been in the legislature actually is very helpful because this is a legislative body, but it's much larger. So it has been a transition. I'm very lucky in that the vast majority of Peter DeFazio's staff stayed on. So I didn't have to hire a whole new team, and they have a great deal of knowledge on how things work. And then they also worked with Peter DeFazio on the Transportation Infrastructure Committee, which I'm also a member of. But what I've done is spent my time getting to know people, whether it's other freshmen or other people who are on my committees. During the speaker vote, it was 4.5 days. And normally you don't get a chance to visit with other members of Congress if they're not in your party or if they're not on your committee. And so I spent the time getting to know people on both sides of the aisle. And that really gave me hope because I got to D.C. and I wasn't sure what to expect, because what you hear from the outside is it's incredibly dysfunctional. And actually, it is pretty functional. There's some loud people that are, make a lot of hay. But fundamentally, it is possible to work in a bipartisan way, and it is possible to get things done. And I'm very heartened by that.
With the process and seniority involved, I'm curious where you ended up with on the committee assignments and what you've been doing on those committees so far.
So I'm on the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, which was very highly sought after. There were only 6 spots for freshmen across the country, and I was very lucky and worked very hard to get on that committee because my number one focus and priority is making sure we can get channel dredging so that we can expand the port of Coos Bay to be a deep water container port that will go straight to rail. And this will allow us to create 9,000 jobs, both directly and indirectly, in Coos, Douglas, and Lane County. And that almost replaces the 11,000 jobs that we lost in the timber industry over the past number of decades. It will also allow us to decrease the supply chain congestion on the West Coast by 10 to 12%, and we can be part of that solution. So that's my focus. So being on transportation infrastructure was important. Also, the Republican member, chair of the committee, and the Democratic ranking member get along well, and it is truly one of the most functional committees in Congress. Then I'm also on the Natural Resources Committee. Almost 85% of the 4th Congressional District is forest land, and about 72 or 73% is timberland. So, and it's 250 miles of ocean, so natural resources are key. I feel like I got on the 2 best committees to be able to represent this district.
How important was it to you, following the legacy of Congressman DeFazio, to get on transportation and infrastructure, which he had chaired the last term?
Well, and he was on for, we're very lucky in that the 5 congresspeople and now 6 all have different areas of expertise and are on different committees so that we can work together. And so Oregon has had the great fortune of having a congressperson on transportation infrastructure for 36 years with Peter DeFazio. And then as chair, he did a lot. There are a lot of things that he started that I'd like to be able to work on. So being on transportation infrastructure and having that continuity is important. And as I said, it is the largest committee in Congress, and it also is very functional because investments in infrastructure are something that should be bipartisan. This is a role that Democrats and Republicans, this is what the government should be doing. So we're able to get a lot done, and I'm really looking forward to doing work on that committee.
What are your big priorities for your first year in Congress?
Well, making sure we can get the channel dredging for the Port of Coos Bay. There's a private company, North Point. out of Missouri, and they are planning to build the port. So this is a public-private partnership. But getting that channel dredging is really important, working with federal agencies to make sure that when things are happening here, they're communicating with the local communities of interest, whether that's the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management, working with the fishing community and tribes and coastal residents as they look at putting offshore wind off the shore of the South Coast, or Department of Forestry communicating with the BLM and tribes and private timber owners on how do we fight wildfires and ensure that we're preparing, we're doing as much to prevent wildfires. And in the ONC lands with this patchwork, it's difficult, but I think I'm working in a bipartisan way with Representative Cliff Bentz and the chair of the Natural Resources Committee, Bruce Westerman, who's a forester, to really dig into how do we spend our federal resources better and have better cooperation. And so there's a lot of support to have that moving, both here in district and at the federal level.
It seems like that's been an increasing emphasis from both the federal and state side, especially following the catastrophic wildfires of the last few years, and really how much that's changed the landscape in parts of the area. Obviously, with the Archie Creek fire east of Roseburg, it's kind of a start over process for a lot of the timberland owners there, and certainly for the residents that still have a long road ahead to fully recover.
That's right. And, you know, I live outside of Springfield, so was affected by the Holiday Farm fire. You know, we look at Checo Bar and sort of the overlapping control of lands and the difference in how we manage wildfire prevention or fighting wildfires really has led us, you know, we have a certain amount of money we can spend on prevention and the initial firefighting. And then once the fire it turns into an emergency and these mega fires that, again, are only getting hotter and more frequent as we see a drier climate with climate change, you can have unlimited money once the wildfire gets out of control. And what we need to do is be spending more upfront for higher quality responses up front so that we aren't losing millions of acres on the second side. So I think a lot of this is arguing about the color of federal money, when we spend it and how we can spend it, and letting people know that the ONC lands are different than anywhere else in the country. And so getting them at the federal level to understand that we here locally know how to fight these fires. We know what to do because we are really in a unique situation. So again, I'm working in partnership with Representative Cliff Bentz, who represents the other half of Douglas County, to make sure that we get this message through very clearly that it needs to be done differently because we just can't keep this up as normal.
And what about communicating from your office with the various county commissions in the counties that are part of the 4th District? Have you had much contact with those folks?
We sure have. In Douglas County, I served in the legislature with Tim Freeman, so we have a longstanding relationship. And also, again, as I said, the DeFazio state level staff has, stayed. So Dan Whalen, who's my deputy chief of staff and state director, has had these relationships because he worked with Peter DeFazio and most of these county commissioners. I'm working out, going out to each of the different counties to individually meet with county commissioners and city councilors and mayors to make sure they know that I'm interested in working with all the different elected officials from every part of my district, from Curry County all the way up to Lincoln County. And it's really been positive. But there's a lot of people, so we have a lot of work yet. I've only been in office 3 months, so you know, still a lot of work to do.
Now, with having a lot of DeFazio staff continue on with you, that makes a lot of things simplified, as you mentioned. Now, did you retain the Roseburg office that was here before?
We did not, because the person that was there before retired. So, and we added a county up north. We, you know, the redistricting made this district a coastal district. So it's 250 miles of the coast, starting at California border to the top of Lincoln County. And what it did was split, whereas Congressman DeFazio represented all of Douglas County. This is now split between myself and Cliff Bentz, sort of right at Roseburg. So what we're going to do is combine our field office in Southern Oregon between Douglas and Coos County, because I think it just makes sense. We want to make sure we maintain the same level of service, but just accommodating for the difference and changes in this geography, we're going to place people in probably in a more coastal area. But we're looking for a Southern Oregon field rep, and we're going to hire the best person, the most qualified person. And if that person ends up being, you know, in Roseburg, that's fine. That's who we're going to hire. But someone in that Douglas and Coos County area is what we're looking for.
One of the interesting aspects that people don't always think about until maybe it impacts them personally is the work of congressional staff and helping constituents that have got issues as simple as Social Security checks not coming in or problems like that. There's a lot of practical help that comes from congressional offices, which is, again, not always talked about.
Right. I think people need to know when they have an issue with a federal agency, policy, regulation, services, or benefits, like, my staff will act as their advocate. That's what we're here for. So requests for assistance on VA claims, Social Security, retirement and disability claims, Medicare, health insurance, marketplace claims, IRS, visas, passports. Sometimes people need passports expedited. We can help with that. Or issues with the Postal Service. I know that there are a lot of veterans in Douglas County, and so we work with them a lot to help them connect with, to make sure that they get the benefits that they've earned. And if people do want to contact our office, the phone number is 541-465-6732. And our DC office, the number is 202-225-6416. And if people come to DC or your kids are coming, you know, on a school trip, contact our office. We're at 1620 in the Longworth building. But we can help ensure that, you know, if they want to get a tour or they want to come visit the office, we are happy to see constituents. I am in Washington, D.C., representing the 4th Congressional District, and we just love to see constituents when they come to D.C. So, again, students are coming out to D.C., let us know so that we can make sure to connect them maybe with some tours or information that they wouldn't have access to otherwise.
Let's talk about some of the national issues that you deal with as a member of Congress. What about inflation and the economy? It seems like everybody is stressed on the rapid rise of prices in a lot of sectors.
Yeah, they really are, and rightfully so. So we've seen inflation all over the world, right, as prices go up, whether it's because of the war in Ukraine or the supply chain crisis or COVID or, you know, the fact that the minimum wage, federal minimum wage, hasn't increased in a very long time. All of these things have come together to cause inflation, and also the Fed raising interest rates. However, there's a limited amount that we can do at the federal level. Right now, what I'm looking for is really good, earnest talks about how to pay for the debt that we have incurred by raising the debt ceiling. I think people get confused about what that is, and it really is to pay for things that we already bought. And if we don't do that, then we will destroy the full faith and credit of the United States, which will crash the world economy. And just like if you paid for something on a credit card, you have to pay that bill whether you like the thing you got or not. And that's what this is about. It is for paying for things that we have already bought. I will also say one of the things that I did, the bill didn't pass, but it was bipartisan, but it was in support of the War Powers Resolution to remove U.S. troops from unauthorized military involvement in Syria. Presidents of both parties have, taken us into war, and they have not gone through Congress to authorize those wars. And that is in the Constitution. And again, it's Democrats, it's Republicans. And we fought all of these foreign wars, and we haven't paid for them. And our children are paying for them, and we're paying for them now. And the fact of the matter is, I think we need to invest in the United States. We need to bring manufacturing back. That's why I'm so focused on the Port of Coos Bay, not only because we can be a solution for the national supply chain issues, but also because we can revive our economy in on the South Coast and bring jobs. And that really is what we need, is good paying jobs with benefits that people can raise a family on. And again, so our kids can have the opportunity for a future, so they don't have to leave in order to find a career.
Got about a minute left with Congresswoman Val Hoyle. What about the level of spending to assist Ukraine? Is that sustainable?
You know, for right now, I think that out of our whole budget, that is a very, very small part of it. But I do think that it is important than when a country like Russia comes in and attacks a sovereign nation, especially so close to our European allies. I am very proud that we stood with Ukraine. Again, this was something that was bipartisan. I do hope that we can find that Ukraine and Russia and Western Europe can find a solution. But that solution should not be to hand over parts of a sovereign country, as part of the solution. But I know that in the United States, we are encouraging diplomacy, and I'm hoping that can happen. And looking at the people of Ukraine, they have done so much more than anyone thought that they could, standing up to Russia. And again, I think that it was important just for stability in the world that we made that investment, and we continue to stand with Ukraine. I support that.
Congresswoman Val Hoyle in Eugene today. Congresswoman, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
1257 Inside Douglas County News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.